Welcome to Overflow, an Osage Hills podcast, where we explore the parts of Sunday's sermon that didn't make it to the platform, dive into upcoming events, and unpack why we do what we do as a church. This week, Nate, Mark, and Adam are unpacking last Sunday's message about being Christian-ish. We're talking about what it means to be the branch, what it looks like to abide in the vine, and so much more. Stick around as we explore these powerful truths and how they apply to our daily lives. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Overflow, podcast of Osage Hills Christian Church. I'm Nate. I'm the lead pastor at Osage Hills, and I have Mark.
Hello.
And Adam with
Hello.
Me, as usual. Today, before we get going into...
For those who can't see us, which is all of you, yep. I got Starbucks for the first time in like a couple of years, I think. Maybe not that long.
Maybe the PSL was the last thing.
Yeah, that's true. And I got a caramel macchiato, and it is gross. Just not good. I don't know if it's just like I haven't had it in a long time, and so it's always tasted.
Yes.
Or this one is just especially bad.
So before we started, he said, this is not a good drink. And he was making fun of it for a little bit. And then he reached over and grabbed it right after we began and took a swig.
Well, I paid for
it. And then shook his head.
Hey, you're not going to let it go to waste.
That's the problem. I know.
Money.
I know. Because their prices are way up there now.
It's not good either.
So hopefully your day is going better than mine.
Yeah. Hopefully your caramel macchiato actually has
caramel. Be rich of caramel and vanilla.
And not of
all the flavors beans. You expect to taste.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
As a church, though, we have a lot of things going on, and it's difficult to, you know, really go through everything on the calendar here. As we near Easter, it just seems like things ramp up, because there's a lot of things to think about. I mean, if you're a kid, you're thinking about summer camp already.
Right.
I mean, right? That's right. The discussions you've been having.
Yeah, I mean, registration for Sunset opens... Either opened at the end of the week last week or opens this week. Yeah. So, I mean, and all the kids, like kids.
They're talking about
back in Osage Kids, like during kids worship, they're talking about it. In high school and in middle school, we're talking about it. So, yeah, it seems like the build up to Easter is really kind of a launching point for where, you know, there's just a lot of crazy fun things going on. And I'm busy, but great.
Yeah, there's more to think about. And that's the summer.
Right.
And there's stuff going on right now.
Like right now, right.
That we need to also bring up. I mean, Anastasia's getting ready to start a women's study this Sunday, which you can register for and get your book for. There's a big event tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
Night. Yeah, so March 12th. And then we have Starting Point, April 6th. We have a family Sunday the weekend before that, March 30th. There'll be a breakfast. And then we also have Resurrection Sunday. All these different things that are coming up, it really, they speak to a different audience. They really do. Certainly. There's new ways for you to make a connection with the church, and we're not doing these things to overload the calendar. I mean, a lot of this stuff happens on, like, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Anastasia's class is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. And so it's just, here's something really easy to partake of. Here's a breakfast between the Sunday school hour and the service hour, easy to be involved.
And also easy to invite.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were going there, but these are also things that are very easy to invite, you know, friends, family, and invite your one to.
Yes.
Low barriers, because we know that, you know, this is a time of year where just socially, culturally, everybody's looking to go somewhere to go to church for Easter. And so these are kind of low barrier entry points where you can invite and you know that your guests and family members are going to have a good time.
When really, that's why we do events.
Right.
Is to open the door. So for people who wouldn't otherwise set foot in church has an opportunity to see that church is more than just a Sunday morning thing. I mean, it's a wonderful community of God who are living in restoration and redemption. So they have the opportunity to experience that with you. So invite somebody.
Yeah. And Extravaganza on the 19th.
That's right. Yeah. We got the Extravaganza at noon. Yeah.
Which is the day before. Mark, can you share?
On purpose.
Yeah, what is that exactly?
Yeah, it is a multi-church, so we kind of own it, I guess, put it together with the help of other churches and the Northwest Hub, the Common Tulsa Good, Hub. Northwest Tulsa Hub. And so there's food, there's big inflatable. Last year we had face painting, and then obviously Easter eggs.
Yeah.
This year, candy only.
Candy only.
we did not do the toys this year.
Candy only.
700 little plastic whistles going off was just great.
An experience. An experience, to say the least.
We wanted to not do that again. So, but the whole goal is to invite the community to our campus, get them exposed to obviously Osage Hills, but there's other churches here represented, because we want people to go to service on Resurrection Sunday and hear the good news of the gospel. And this is it's a lot of work, but it's kind of an easy way to be face to face with people. I mean, we had, gosh,
there's like 600, 700 people here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Laura, the girls, and I were here.
Yeah,
last year, even though we, you know, obviously we weren't here, but we came and we saw, you know,
other. So this year it's going to be bigger and better.
Yep.
And we're going to, it's going to be great. You should come and bring your one. Invite your neighbors.
Think of who is close to you, yet far from God, and bring them in, man. So those are, I guess, our first challenge to you with all the things that are going on. And you can see all this. It's in the Church Center app. With all the things that are going on, this is just another reminder that there is somebody out there who needs to participate in this. And you have been commissioned by Christ to reach them and give them that opportunity as a kind of an entry point into having a relationship with Jesus. Because that's, you know, that's why we do this kind of thing. So, all right, so let's move on. Last weekend, well, a Sunday, we finished up the series on Christian-ish. And I felt like it was a very convicting message, at least to me it was. And probably the thing that really hit home the most was the final element. You know, Jesus says that he is the vine and that you are the branch, so you being whoever's listening and myself. We are to abide in the vine so that we can bear much fruit, produce much fruit. It's in John chapter 15. And the call to bear fruit, I think sometimes we pay attention to the back half of that and not the first half of that. He says it is critical, I think, for a follower of Jesus to pay more attention to what comes out of his mouth first than what comes out of his mouth second. He says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But what we want to focus on is the part that says, bear much fruit. I think connecting with Jesus is more difficult. It is difficult to have a relationship. And I think in the Western church, our mindset, at least in our culture, in American culture, tends to be that independent, I can do this. And we have we suffer from a struggle of independence instead of dependence.
Yeah, I would say not to split hairs, but I think it's intentionally very, very easy to have a relationship with Christ.
Oh, yeah.
It's that, and again, not splitting hairs, but I think there's a difference. It's easy to do, but culturally, where we are in America, where we so much put emphasis and pride on, you know, being the lone wolf, picking ourselves up by our bootstraps and going and doing the thing of our own power, we put such value on that. Mm-hmm. But as we saw in the message and in many other places, that's not the design.
Right.
We're intentionally called to not be reliant on ourselves.
Exactly. Intentionally called not to be reliant on ourselves. I like that. The, I guess you know, I'm trying to formulate how this really struck me. But toward the end, there was that little section there that says that thing that I confessed to you, maybe if I just do more or try harder. And then to realize that me doing more or trying harder is the wrong approach to producing fruit really convicted me, because it's not about the production, even though that's kind of how we open the message too. You know, is God pleased with your quantity and quality of your fruit? The answer to that isn't to do more or to try harder. The answer is to connect with him, to abide in him, to live in him, to remain in him, rather than to just, you know, do better.
Yeah, and I think most believers find evidence of this when you have seasons of disconnection. You're not in the word. You're not speaking to him daily. You're not actively participating in things that are going to move you closer to the Father. You're just kind of going up, and you're not intentionally like, I hate God now. It's just, you're more focused on your day-to-day responsibilities, you know, making sure the house is picked up, taking the kids to sports, whatever the thing is. Right. But then you get to a point like, man, where is God? I feel so distant. Well, he never left.
Right.
you walked away.
Yeah.
And when you go back and he is there with open arms, all of a sudden you start, oh man, I'm able to have these conversations that I haven't been able to have with my neighbors, or I'm, gleaning new concepts from scripture, or, you know, I have this peace over this situation that wasn't there before. And I think that is the evidence that we all can relate to when we have those seasons that we are walking away instead of walking with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me of something we said in a previous podcast, where Christ is your life as opposed to he's part of your life. I think abiding in the vine is an acknowledgement that he is your life instead of a part of it or a piece of it. And I also believe that that's incredibly difficult to wrap my mind around, where the things that I do, it is truly because Jesus is living within me that I do them. And it is his spirit that is guiding me instead of me doing what I want.
Mm-hmm.
The final call, you know, it's good to nurture your relationship with Jesus, but I love it that it's so much more than that. The final call was to keep in step with him. And I also liked the illustration about the dance. I mean, it is interesting how, you know, if you think about it, if you take that illustration just a little bit further and go out onto the dance floor and say, like, this is God's dance, right? This is God's dance. It's not yours. And you show up, and there's this time that the Spirit is he's your partner. He's the one who's guiding you, but he's everyone's partner. And you break off and decide to dance on your own. It looks rather silly in God's dance hall. And so, and I'm thinking, how is it that I can do a better job of ensuring that I'm abiding in him rather than trying to do more for him? And that's probably where the breakdown comes in for me a little bit. Is abiding in him is difficult when I'm a pretty focused guy on the task at hand, you know? I remember just a few days ago, I was writing. I had something I needed to get done, and I had to write this up. And I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was taking me all day to finish this project, and I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it looks like it's so far away. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Like I'm just not making any progress. And so I just got up from my chair and I started walking around, and I'm like, I need to draw close to God right now. And because this is frustrating. And I realized that, why didn't I do that at the beginning of this, you know?
Right.
Because this required thing, you know, it's self-inflicted. Don't get me wrong. It's self-inflicted. But at the same time, I'm like, I need to be doing this because God is calling me into this, not because I feel like it's something I have to do. Mm-hmm. So I talked with him. I talked with God. I said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to need your help right now. I'm running out. I'm running down. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I just want to just sit in your presence and just acknowledge that you're with me and that you can give me strength. And I'm telling you, you know, there's that passage in Philippians chapter 4 that says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can't explain to you. I just can't, because it transcends my thought, my ability to comprehend what was going on in that moment. God's peace filled me because I just acknowledged his presence and acknowledged he was with me. Those feelings of like, I'm just never going to get this done, even though I can see the ending, they completely left. And I also know that when people do this, it doesn't necessarily happen this way. And when it doesn't, there have been moments that that's happened for me too. I have to move forward in trust that God is still with me and that he is still calling me and that nothing about his presence has ever changed.
Right.
So, and I'm curious, you know, for those of you who are listening and who are sitting here, has anything like that, like how is it that you can abide? How is it that you can be the branch and just abide in the vine? What's a good story from your experience? Or what can you recognize? You know, how has God come through for you in helping you receive that life and produce that fruit, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, one of the things that comes to mind, and there's a couple thoughts here, so let me kind of process those out really quick. I think one of the things in your story that pops into my head is, you know, how often do we go into something, especially like as competent human beings, right? Like how often do we go into a scenario or like you sit down to write and you know, like, you know, I can do this. I know how to do this. And I'm just going to do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And we get to a point and is like you're almost even unaware. Like, I don't know that you would have sit down and said, oh, I'm going to write this project solely of my own talents and ability. But then you get to the point where you're like, oh, I've run to the end of my ability right now. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to say, to get up, to take a walk and to say, God, now I need to welcome you into this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said that. And then I thought to myself about the story I'm about to share is like, if we could only be so aware to say, hey, before I get into this situation, God, I'm inviting you into this from the get go. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that this is going to be a big project that I'm going to be working on. And God, come alongside me and work through me and have your will done from the outset. Now, it doesn't mean you wouldn't have like run into difficulties, right? But perhaps, and I think what we would see is that God was already waiting for you to ask him into it. Oh, and yeah. And when he's there now, all of a sudden you can kind of get through that. Anyway, that's a kind of a side note, but it in that concept as well kind of leans into to what I wanted to talk about. I think for me, the biggest time where I recognized that I was certainly not connected to the vine in the work that I was doing would probably have been probably the middle of 2020. And for kind of context, at 2020, I was working at a different church and I was running a kids ministry. And for those of you who aren't in kids ministry or haven't served in kids ministry, the concept of social distancing a two-year-old is silly. It's impossible. And so as my church, we were figuring out how to run kids ministry online, and we were figuring out how to eventually come back into the building and meet in person. There were just so many things that I was processing through. How do I social distance a two-year-old? How do I get you know, even, and I'm talking logistical things, like how do I get my curriculum delivered to my leaders and all this different stuff, let alone talking about how do we set up and develop spiritual foundations for kids when we are disconnected from them physically, right?
Yeah.
And I got to a point in 2020 where I was just done. Just absolutely. And just done, right? I could not find a win.
Ministry was tough.
It was year. So tough. But it's not just ministry. I think we were all there in some ways where we were just like, I'm at the end of myself, truly at the end of myself. And I had I have a couple mentors, friends that were really close to me, that just kind of sat me down, and it was my campus pastor at the time. His name's Ben, and Ben sat me down and he was like, "Dude, you're trying to do this on your own. You need to stop it." And not in a disciplinary way, right? I mean, out of love, he was like, "Man, you are right now. You're trying to do this of your own ability and your own, you know, strength and understanding." He was like, "You just can't, man. You were gonna crash and burn." And he was so right. And so some of the, you know, as far as like concrete applications, none of that stuff is interesting to listen to, or maybe it is. We'll talk about that if you want to. But I think the thing for me was that I switched all of my focus from how am I going to do this, that, and the other to how am I going to be mentally, spiritually, relationally available.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew that was what was going to help. So then the question becomes, well, how do I do that?
Mm.
Get back in connection with the vine. Yeah. Because it would not have been possible any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concrete steps for that bit were very simple.
Yeah.
Make being in God's word priority. Actually pray. Read the Bible so that you're reading it to hear God's word and not just to teach a lesson. Like, these were the things that I had neglected because I was trying to figure out all these other things on my own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like not instantly, like the day after I made the switch, but I like honestly within a week of prioritizing the correct things, I was starting to find solutions and I was starting to see God's work in different things. And 2020 was a really pivotal year for me. Mm-hmm. Not only mentally and emotionally, but also as a pastor and as a leader. And it's not been perfect since, but it kind of gave me the blueprint of, Adam, check your heart. Where are you? Are you struggling? Okay, yeah, maybe in this season I am again. Well, let's go back and look at the blueprint.
Mm.
Because if we try to do things, even if we try to do simple things on our own strength and understanding and of ourselves, it's not going to happen. I used to joke and say, the only thing that I am qualified to do on my own is to eat Cheetos and play Xbox. And I stand by that. I'm really good at eating Cheetos and playing Xbox, y'all. Like, you don't get this figure by not eating Cheetos. It's a audio medium, not a visual medium, but y'all know what I look like. Like, I'm really good at eating Cheetos and playing Xbox, right? The stuff above that, the stuff that matters. If I can, I'm competent. I can do it for a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's no sustainability.
Yeah.
There's no longevity if I'm working out of my own will.
Yeah, and I think practically, all of this is, for me, when you have that frustration of I'm doing the work, I'm not seeing the results. It's that moment when you need to flip the switch.
Right.
It's you're frustrated because you're doing the work, but not seeing the results. When Jesus says, remain in me, because if you don't, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Right. So he's not saying that you can't go do the work. He's saying that if it's not in him, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
And so if you're in a position or a season where you feel like you're working hard, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good, man. Write that down.
Stop working hard and be in him. Yeah. And then naturally those things will happen. Well, not naturally, supernaturally.
Supernaturally. Yeah, that's good. Will happen.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Jesus says this kind of stuff all the time. Like, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I mean, obviously not the same thing, but the concept of put Jesus first, make him your life.
Yes.
He is the main thing. And when you are doing that well, all that other stuff is going to fall into place.
Yeah. Well, and I want to kind of harp on that, that little phrase where he says, well, let me just read the verse again. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Then he continues, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch, essentially a severed branch, right, and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Well, the source of your request isn't coming from your desires. Catch that. This isn't the key to have the life that you've always dreamed of, with the big house and financial freedom and this, that, and the other. Anything material. This is about the source guiding you into your request. Okay? He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is truly fascinating to me. That Jesus is making it's a provocative statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's like, that, I'm sure that probably can make some hairs stand on end. Like, everything that I've worked for in my life, then, if I've been doing this on my own, Jesus, what does Jesus think of that? What does it matter?
Right.
And that right there, in his remark, would be his answer to you would be, it means nothing. You see, it also kind of shows me that we were then designed, we were created and expected to remain connected to the source of life, remain in the vine. And if we're not doing that, if we're not actively working toward that and making sure that that happens and that nothing comes in the way to sever that right there, then we're missing the point, you know? We're missing the point on why we're here. We probably feel empty inside, probably feel like we're running around in circles, and probably feeling, like Mark said, like nothing's happening and nothing's working. It's because we've been doing things that are severing our connection. So I guess another challenge would be to really think about, hey, what are the things that I'm doing that work to nothing? You know? And what are the things that I can do, or how is it that I can remain connected? And maybe for you, it means that before you get out of the car, before you get out of bed, you talk to him. Say, mm-hmm. God, this day belongs to you. I realize that you're with me. And so, God, fill me. I'm connecting with you right now as the source of my life today, in this moment, as the source in this moment for me as I walk into this meeting. And the source, you are the source for me in this moment as I'm walking into school, as I'm getting ready to start this project. I'm getting ready to have this conversation. I'm getting ready to eat this food.
Eat those Cheetos.
Eat them Cheetos.
Whatever it is, you know. And realize that, hey, right now, I'm remaining connected. And watch God work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Watch the fruit just happen. You know?
Or be patient, because there's a lot of times where...
Well, that's a fruit.
Yeah, patient. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, at times, there will be work being done that you don't see yet.
Right.
Especially parents with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Invest time. Fruit is growing. You just may not see it right away. And don't get discouraged in that in and of itself.
Yeah. And just one more verse, and a couple more verses I want to read to you. He says, I'm skipping down to verses 10. I'm in John 15, verses 10 and 11. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus is telling us what it looks like. If you're trusting God as the source of your wisdom for the day, by obeying what he says, you're abiding in the love of God. You're experiencing his love. And Jesus is telling us this so that we can experience the joy. If your life is missing the joy, there you go. There you go.
Got that joy, 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 joy. Joy.
Where's
down
it?
Deep in my heart.
Yeah. Where?
Deep in my heart.
Where?
Deep in my heart.
Okay.
To stay.
It's going to stay there.
Thanks. Another song. Look how we... Good job, guys.
I don't... And we haven't played any of these. This is my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
Well, it's my favorite part.
All right. Well, that's all we have for today. If you have any questions, go ahead and send them our way at questions@osagehills.com. And we will do our best in our response. Look forward to seeing you guys on Sunday.
Or Wednesday at the big event.
Yep.
Yeah. Blessings.
Bye.